The Zone with Jason Anderson.
So what we had planned for this segment, we got into Jack Bleep of what we were going to do here.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards, Mick Schaefer. Josh Briscoe hanging out at Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon in Westport, 4144 Pennsylvania Avenue. Denver Biscuit there, Fat Sully's as well. We are hanging out in studio today until 2 o'clock. We've got Andy Reid. We'll hear from him coming up in just a little bit. The Fast Friday with Andy Reid. I don't know any other players or not going to be there. And then we got cuts before the show is over. On tap predictions. We'll hear if Beards goes 3-2 or not. Mick,
is there a Denver Biscuit in Denver?
Yes.
No, it's a biscuit, Denver.
Does Denver have
Denver's
a Denver
gonna
biscuit?
Put up, oh. I think I'm at Denver Biscuit Company, and I think the Broncos are going to put up a donut. Is my prediction.
Well, I'm going to Denver tonight. Can I get a Denver Biscuit in Denver?
Yeah, I'll get you the info. You weren't invited to the remote here today, but you could actually go
to the one in Colorado.
In Colorado,
I think technically isn't any biscuit that you have there at Denver Biscuit. If it's
Jason,
made there,
Jason, you know, you're just so stupid. There's only one Denver biscuit, and it's the ones that I've been eating over and over and over again.
that's right. That is probably right. Yes, there is only one Nature Valley protein bar in the studio, at least.
There's only one lukewarm Dr. Pepper.
There's only one Highlander. Willie Gay will be at the podium today, so we will know for a fact he does exist. Well, you know what? He did knock down the pass on one of the field goal drives on third down. He got his hand up, knocked it down on third down. He got a pass defense, and it
he showed up a little bit more than Nick Bolton, but then Bolton had like double-digit tackles.
Well, somebody had to tackle somebody.
Well, not all tackles are created equal, right?
Yeah. Kavika Mitchell had like 120 in a season. So it's like, hey, a guy had 100 tackles in a year. Well, somebody's got to tackle somebody. They're not going to score a touchdown every time they touch the ball. I mean, somebody's going to make a tackle. You know, that is true. Like, Nick Bolton did show up more on the field, but it was more of the, like, what's going on? Like, what? How did the guy gain 4 more yards after Bolton hit him? Like, it was an odd linebacker game, man. I don't know.
Already tied the Chiefs franchise record for most double-digit tackles in a season at 7. And he's got 5 more games left.
Wow. That's Nick Bolton.
Nick Bolton.
About, yes.
I think he's tied with Donnie Edwards. This is the guy.
Yeah.
I remember right.
I saw a mock draft this morning, Mick, and the only reason I...
Are you jumping off the Nick Bolton bandwagon?
No, not at all.
Hey, guys, hold on real quick. Sorry, this took me a second. I just wanted to offer it. Juan Thornhill, 10 tackles in that game.
Yeah.
Just don't mean you play good football.
Certainly wish they were
11. Like 11.
the 11th is...
Like 11?
Apparently,
although, did he get credit for that?
I don't know, but that was McDuffie.
Oh, it was McDuffie that knocked him out. Okay.
Unlike Spinal Tap, Juan Thornhill did not go to 11.
Taking it to 11.
In that game. Damn it. No, I got, we were at ADA fundraising yesterday. I walked out with not only a Daron Cherry autographed Chiefs jersey, I walked out with an autographed Nick Bolton jersey. Well, I am not off the Nick Bolton bandwagon at all. I just think a lot of people had a hand in playing just a rough game, and it was odd seeing the linebackers for the Chiefs. That is part of a strength that we're just like, where are they at? Why aren't they doing it? Who's not tackling? What's the problem there? And the defensive line wasn't any good either. So.
I tell you, I am more invested in the Nick Bolton bandwagon. It's like a double-decker bandwagon now I'm on. We're staying on it after last week. At the last moment, the Simonis got a hold of the Chiefs. They wanted some chief to do some sort of interview with me about the about their high school experience in the Simonis and all that. And they picked Nick Bolton as a great choice. Nice. I met him at the Chiefs facility. We went in their studio. And look, he's from Texas. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know the Simone story or isn't supposed to. And I was just going to ask him about his high school playing days. But he came with notes.
Wow.
He had learned about the Simone Award, right? And the great... the history behind it and the tragedy that initiated it. Mm-hmm. And he just mentioned unprovoked about it. And he said, it's a horrible thing for the family. But I feel like it's a great thing that they've turned this tragedy into. And I thought that was so cool of him. He didn't have to, but he was prepared. He wanted to know the questions and all that stuff. And so that was really cool of him. And it was a great touch at the Simone awards on Tuesday. So you know what? He can have 9 tackles in a game, Jason, and I'm just fine with it.
Yeah, no, but I was mentioning because I had looked at a mock draft this morning, which I didn't care about except for that the person that had this at CBS had the Chiefs taking Bijan Robinson from Texas, which I had to tell Josh Briscoe on the air because I knew it would make his skin crawl that they would take a running back
in the first round.
In the first round. But the pick right before the Chiefs, so they had he had the Chiefs at 29 because of the record and where they're at the standings are right now. That's how he put it, 1 through 32. And the player right in front of the Chiefs to the Dallas Cowboys was Felix Inudike Uzama. And I'm like, oh, that'd be cool to combine those. Yep. Here's Andy Reid.
We'll get you the rest of who's out, who's in. But look forward to the challenge of playing the Broncos. We know they're a good football team and well coached. So our guys have had a good week of practice and look forward to going out there. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Coach, I understand you still have to meet with Rick, but how did Kadarius Toney look these last few days of practice?
Yeah, so he got out and he worked. Did some good things, moved around pretty good. Didn't give him a full load, you know, but he went out and moved around. And we'll see. It'll be, you know, he would be one that's right there on the border of playing, not playing, so.
I know that Joe Tooney came down with a little bit of game time left. Has he been feeling like he's a lot?
Which one?
Tooney.
Actually, Tooney, yeah, he's felt better the last couple of days, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Unrelated to your game, I don't know if you watched last night, Baker Mayfield comes in, yeah, day and a half of practice or whatever. Can you just kind of wrap your head around what that would be like to get someone ready to play that position in the NFL that quickly?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I actually just saw the last probably half of the fourth quarter, whatever it was, and pretty amazing. A pretty amazing job he did. It's hard enough going in and playing when you have complete understanding of the offense, and then when you've only been there a couple days, and then you have to run the 2-minute drill to win the game. That's pretty amazing. So my hat goes off to him. He did a nice job.
What's the quickest you ever had anyone get up to speed? I know it's...
Yeah, I've never been in quite that situation like that, but that it's amazing. Yeah, to answer your question, my hat goes off to him. He's very football smart, anyways. But that's another level.
Coach, along those lines, with having to close out a game, the Raiders were up. You guys have been in similar situations. How hard is it to do that, especially when you guys have to play the Broncos and it could be a tie?
Yeah, sure. No, this league's crazy that way. The parity in this league is amazing. I mean, everybody has an opportunity to win or lose the game, and so it forces you to play 4 quarters, and there are no easy downs. But that's what we like doing. We enjoy the game and enjoy the competition.
Coach, we'll get Willie Gay in a second here. Just yeah, in general, on and off the field, how have you seen him grow this year?
Yeah, I think Willie has grown. He's a father now, and that was an important step that he continues to grow, and he's doing that. He's a fun kid to be around, loves to play, and I'm proud of him for how he's handling himself, yeah.
Anything else?
All right, there's Andy Reid. Looks like Kadarius Toney is going to be a game time decision. Joe Tooney looks like more likely to play. It didn't really sound confident in Andy Reid. He's like, oh, is Toney going to play? He hasn't really had a full load this week, and that one's going to be close. And if it's close, what's the point? I mean, why play him against it? You don't need, you'd better not need Toney against the Broncos.
The line of our very own Nick Jacobs at KSHB 41. When I hear hamstring, I think 4 weeks.
I mean, and with him, it's been, you know, it's Sammy Watkins, just a different version of so far in his career early on, and that sucks. But if you're dealing with him and you're saying he might be an integral part of this offense, and people that are, you know, saying, well, you know, Chiefs really missed Tyreek Hill in this game against the Bengals and didn't have McCole, didn't have Toney, and really need that type of player, well, it's more important for him to be healthy a little bit later on than against the Broncos. You should be able to go and beat Denver without him. Why take a chance and have it, flare up again or tighten up again? So we'll see if he plays. Here's Willie Gay.
Why? Yeah. First one I grabbed out the drawer.
Hey, Willie, how do you feel like you've progressed this year? You've been through some stuff, had to set out for 4 games. How do you feel like the whole year's gone through for you?
I feel like it's been pretty good, man. You know, if I look at myself personally, I feel like I'm getting better each and every week. Of course, there's things I can fix here and there. Of course, there's going to be mistakes that I make, but, you know, all around game, I feel like it's getting better, and I'm back in that rhythm now. It's week 14 now, man, so, you know, we rolling.
Well, you've never shied away from the mental stuff. There were some problems last year. How far do you think you've come as you kind of look back on
the year? Man, I've came far. I used to, hate coming to work some days last year, man. But now it's, you know, honestly, it's the highlight of my day, honestly, is getting up at 6:15 in the morning with the dogs, man, and getting ready to come to work. I really love it now. So it definitely plays a role and plays a difference in the way you perform on the field and in the outside world. So,
what do you think has been the most significant part of that change?
Probably just focusing on myself, you know, and keeping the distractions out, you know, whether it's just the outside world and, you know, the media, whatever it is, man, just being in my own world sometimes, and that's what it takes, you know, and that's what I did.
You guys have had a lot of success, obviously, this year. You sit from where you are. How do you put away last week's game, the disappointment of it, and move forward?
You know, we know it's a lot of games left to play, four or five games left to play. And, you know, that game, of course, it hurt us, but we got a bigger goal in mind. And we got to keep rolling, try to win out, and see what we get after that.
Willie, what do you feel like you gained from having leaders like Chris and Frank, whether it's in front of you, obviously, in the play during games and during the week here?
Guys that just don't stop. You know, those guys both, eight, nine, and you see them still going like they in year one and two, you know. So, I'm in year three, and I look at guys like that who still trucking along, man, and they motivate me some days, you know, because they just love the game so much. Some of the best players on the defense, you know, for years, you know, since they got here. So, you look at those guys, man, it definitely gives you a push, so.
With Chris, some could argue that he's having the best season of his career. Whether it's stuff that we can see on tape or if there's something that you can sort of pinpoint otherwise, why do you think Chris is having such a good year?
Man, it's just the way I look at it, man, honestly, it's just part of football. One year be the worst year of your career, then next year you get somebody like Chris get 15 sacks. You know, it's just part of how the game works. You know, I feel like then, like I said, it's year eight for him. So it's hard to have a great year every single year. I mean, some guys probably can do it, you know, but the way I look at it is, you know, you might have a down year here and there, but he always going to bounce back, though. So, and that's what he's doing this year.
Spags said yesterday that, you know, Darius Harris stepped in for you and he did pretty well. And he's talked to you about that, giving him some reps here and there. What's that been like between y'all just, you know, kind of switching out every so often in the game?
Man, it's been cool, man. I really don't know what to say about that. Honestly, I don't know.
The last one. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, I know you guys are moving on to Denver, but it seemed like he was having some success in the intermediate middle part of the field. Just how do you guys improve in that regard as you move forward here in the final five games?
Just try to, wherever we was wrong at in that game, just try to correct it on the practice field, whether it's matching routes on the back end and middle of the field, like you said. Just check downs, try to get to the ball fast and, you know, get them on the ground. So just anything, just like matching routes faster or looking up over routes, you know, so just anything to stop the big plays. So.
Thank you, Willie.
Thank you, Willie.
All right, there's Willie Gay, who's not happy with sharing reps with Darius Harris. Right? I mean, it's...
How'd you figure that, Jason?
Is there any other way to interpret the... You know, he's been getting some of the reps, and Spags has talked about, you know, sharing and other guys, you know, getting in there. What do you think of that? It's cool. I don't know. it's been cool. I don't know what to tell you. I think he did. I think he did tell us.
We all often make the mistake that all these guys on every team are like, they're just like best friends. Always.
Yay. We always are the three best. He and Bolton and Harris. Yes. We are the three best friends that anybody could have.
It doesn't matter if it's me or you having success out there.
As long as we win. Here's the thing, though. I think a lot of people were wondering why he was getting reps over Willie Gay in the game. Yes. And Spags was like, you know, these guys are going to need to get reps in the playoffs. Oh, cool. You got five games coming up where maybe you don't experiment with different guys in different spots. And we got to get them experience somehow. Maybe not there. We'll see. I mean, Spags is seeing something to where, you know, Willie Gay is coming off the field a number of more times and Harris is going onto the field a number of times. But we also saw Spags put Sorensen out there constantly until he didn't. Sure. It's not exactly as a, well, he's seeing something we're not, so you got to put trust in that. I think we're all seeing that Thornhill should have been playing over Sorensen, but he wasn't at times. So there you go. I don't know what to tell you. He did have a blue hat. So the beginning, I asked him, what's up with the blue hat? He's like, I don't know. It's just the one I grabbed.
First one out of the drawer.
First one out of the drawer that I grabbed. So Willie Gay and Andy Reid. If you missed the Andy Reid, the news to come from Andy Reid is it sounds like Joe Tooney's going to play and he's going to suit up. And it does not sound like Kadarius Toney is going to play. If you're guessing, Mick and Josh, Toney, does he play this weekend? Based
no
on
Toney.
What we heard,
yes to Tooney.
No Toney.
Correct.
Okay.
I think they need another week for a Toney up, but I think they need no more time for a Toney up.
No.
Thank you for turning. I thought you turned his mic off, Beards. I heard it go silent. I thought Beards turned his mic off, and I was going to say thank you, Beards.
Honestly, I should have.
I was clearing my throat so I could really have another equally banger joke coming up. Well, I'm sorry. I'm biscuit hungover right now.
There's
so
a teeny chance for Toney to play. I would say
a teeny Toney.
I would say it's a teeny tiny Toney chance.
Yeah,
but only time will tell.
And then maybe the last three games, at least you'll get Toney.
Yeah. And
I hope they get Toney those last three games, really.
No, not going to happen.
Getting them all is important.
So there you go. 913-912-4810. Let's hear from Steve Smith Sr. I wanted to play this because, you know what, Josh, we haven't got into the Toney and McCole and injury to wide receivers and Sky Moore and, you know, what he's done. Steve Smith Sr. has a TikTok in which he breaks down different and analyzes, you know, players. And he works with, Amazon, right? Or is it Sunday Night Football?
Sorry, is this a Toney or a Toonie TikTok?
R.I.P. Toney. Contain.
It's a Steve Smith Sr. TikTok. Here he is talking about Sky Moore for the Chiefs. Mm.
Sky Moore. The Kansas City Chiefs have said they're no longer going to put him on punt return. Sky Moore drops this punt return because he takes his eyes off. So he gets it, but he's peeking. Every punt returner does it. But coach, they don't get on him. They don't cuss him out. But look at this route right here. Little small little route. Should be down. All of a sudden, gets going. He's staggering, falling, gets hit. And the hit actually allows him to get his balance. Then watch this one. The wiggle, go back, the wiggle. He already sees that the defender is going right. So you know what he does? He gives the defender what he wants. You want some more of the right. So let me go ahead, weave again, make you fully commit, and then try to scamper off. Bro, I'm telling you, when Sky Moore gets it all together, it's gonna be trouble.
Steve Smith Sr., pretty good wide receiver in his own right, watching Sky Moore, and the little wiggle he was talking about was against the
Chargers game? I'm trying to think of QB catches in that game.
Did they play before the Bengals?
Titans?
This is the forgotten Rams game.
The Rams.
Oh, yes, it was against the Rams. Yes, he's running to his right. The defender is committed to his right. Toney shows the right leg.
Toney does.
Sorry. Sky Moore shows the right leg, sticks it in the ground. The defender then overcommits because he thinks that Sky Moore is then going even more to his right, and then boop, just slides right past him and picks up another 7 or 8 yards. He also showed the catch that he made after the muffed punt, which we've talked about, that comes right back, makes the catch. That's the first thing he was talking about. And then the guy hits him and he gains his balance by getting hit. So, I mean, look, that's high praise from a guy who's played the position and understands the nuances of how you play the position, how you pick up extra yards, routes that are run, a little wiggle here or there that can make a difference. And Steve Smith saying that it's going to be trouble once Sky Moore puts it all together for this Chiefs team.
That's good. I hope so.
Yeah, I do too. What do you make of that, Josh? Huh? Steve Smith, Sky Moore?
I think he's right. I think the traits that Sky Moore has, also it doesn't really surprise me that Steve Smith would be kind of attracted to the overall like skill set of Sky Moore.
Yeah, he's going
to
champion the little guys.
Smaller, shiftier receiver that catches everything thrown his way.
Yes,
that guy? Interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there could be some some crossover there. But yeah, no, I continue to be pretty high on Sky Moore. I don't know if I'm sky high, but anymore. But I continue to be pretty optimistic about him. I just don't – I think for him and Karlaftis and for a handful of those other guys in the rookie class, I am optimistic in the long term and not as optimistic that they're going to have like a breakout game in the playoffs. But I absolutely am still happy to have Sky Moore on this football team.
I think it's I think the Chiefs want Sky Moore as a particular role. I don't think the Chiefs want Sky Moore to be their constant motion man that throw the ball out in the flat, hand
Correct.
Off the ball to Sky Moore. I don't think they want him to be that guy. I think they want him to be, whether it's a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, a guy that can go over the middle, quick routes, get the ball in his hands, pick up extra yards. They clearly like something about his maneuverability in the open field. That's why they put him as a punt returner.
Yeah.
But they want the Tyreek Hill, the Mecole Hardman, the Kadarius Toney to do those things. And I don't know if it had anything to do with the fact that you had none of those three guys out there, and it was Sky Moore that was the motion man, and whether that did anything to the defense or not. Did it make them change their defense? Did it make it less to where the Chiefs were as dynamic without one of those guys? I don't know, but they traded for Kadarius Toney for a reason, and they want that guy to be to have that open field space, that quickness, and Toney has shown it. We know Mecole Hardman has shown it. Obviously, Tyreek Hill has shown it. I don't think that's the role for Sky Moore.
No, I've seen much more of the Welker type slot guy, possession receiver. He's going to be quick and be fast. He's going to hopefully do the right things out there. I haven't seen the cat quick, you know, elusiveness that, you know, it seemed like Steve Smith was highlighting in that video.
Or the instant, like, acceleration. That you get upfield and then, boom, you're gone. That Tyreek, Mecole, and Toney has the quick to top speed.
I think it's a different kind of acceleration, and you guys are right. I mean, I straight up think if they saw Sky Moore in that role, they don't trade for Kadarius Toney. I mean, I think that one's really a slam dunk, that he was forced into that role because Hardman was out the year they trade away Tyreek Hill, and then they bring in Toney, and he's out as well. I absolutely think he's just the next man up there. But where Sky Moore is explosive is in the breaking of his routes. Like, he can create separation during a route, and that's a difficult thing to do. That does not translate to running those little satellite motions and the jet sweeps in the backfield. That's not his game. That's what Hardman and Toney are for. And if the Chiefs didn't value that part of their offense, they don't draft Mecole Hardman when Tyreek Hill's future is in doubt. They don't trade for Kadarius Toney when Mecole Hardman's future is in doubt. Whenever they are thinking that Kadarius Toney might be unreliable or going somewhere else, they're going to find another guy to do that who runs a 3.3 40, which I don't think is humanly possible, but Andy Reid will find one of those guys.
Yeah, and I mean... Does the offense and against the Bengals have anything to do with not having that guy out there? And it was, you know, Sky Moore and Juju, and MVS, you know, made some big plays down the field, but also dropped a touchdown that didn't hurt him because they ended up getting a touchdown on that drive as well. But he made some big plays down the field on third down on plays in which the Bengals blitzed and said, we'll leave you one-on-one because we don't think you got somebody that's going to beat us. And so credit to MVS. But you're right. They can't put so much of an emphasis on that position to where, hey, we might not have Tyreek Hill. Let's go get Mecole Hardman. Hey, Mecole Hardman's a free agent after this year. Let's bring in Kadarius Toney. They can't put that much of an emphasis and feel the importance is there to make sure they always have that guy. And then when they don't, be like, it's not that big of a deal. They're fine. They should be able to just move on.
Yeah,
that's my galaxy brain theory on why I'm not worried about the Chiefs' offense, is that not having that element of it makes everything a little more congested. And the offense has looked really congested over the last few weeks. And I think that there is a direct correlation to that, to the threat that guys like Toney and Hardman can put on a defense.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of these times it's less of an indictment on the position and less of a deal of like, okay, we have got to upgrade here. And it's more like in the case of Toney and Justin Watson, okay, I really like these guys coming out of the draft. Okay, and they're available. It less like we really got to mine somebody. We got to find somebody who could be like a Hardman or, the Sky Moore's not living up to potential. It's like, oh, no, this guy's available. He's really good. We're going to bring him in and see how he fits. And it felt like that's what the Toney signing was.
The question would be, though, is, you know, if Mecole Hardman leaves this offseason, which is the expectation that he's going to be priced out of what the Chiefs would pay, who do they go and bring in to be the replacement at that spot when Toney is not playing? Because there's no way you go into a season saying, well, Tony's that guy, and we got him for 16 or 17 games. Because he's already missed two. He's played two and missed two. And I think he's going to miss this weekend, so he'll play two and miss three. So you can't go in next year and say, well, Kadarius Toney, they got that spot filled. So they got to bring in somebody else for that. Because they even had two right now with Mecole and Toney, and they don't have either one of them. And Sky Moore's having to fill that role.
It might be an unpopular opinion, but I don't think it matters, honestly, when you have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Well, in theory, it shouldn't, but, you know.
Well, in theory, it should, I would say, but this year it hasn't. In that, like, I mean, Mahomes is on pace to throw over 5,000 yards, right? And
well, the spacing is interesting. It's kind of like without Tony or McColl or Tyreek, there's a little bit of the Lakers where everybody's going to be playing inside the 3-point line as opposed to.
That's exactly the analogy I was about to go to. We are on the same page.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. You go now. Your turn.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing as not being able to space the floor offensively in basketball. Yeah, you could have the twin towers of whoever you want to pick in the middle and say, oh, yeah, we're going to run our offense through these big guys, and sometimes that'll work. But you need to be able to at least threaten the defense at multiple depths. And so I think that not only does the speed impact deep down the field, MVS can do that, Justin Watson can do that, but horizontally as well, you have to make the you have to keep the defense honest. And we even saw a little bit of that, I think, in that fake to Burton pitch to Pacheco to the corner against the Bengals. You need guys who can beat a defender to the sideline, and now all of a sudden that is something that corner out there has to be aware of constantly. And anytime McColl Hardman or Kadarius Toney go in motion, the defense has to be freaking out. And we've seen the end result of that multiple times because it's just confusing. It's too much movement and too much speed. If someone's in man and man coverage and Hardman or Toney go in motion through the backfield, the defender either has to pass that guy off or navigate through his own teammates before the snap even begins. That's the Jerick McKinnon in motion, unguardable red zone play where he starts on one side, you know, runs right to left, and then all of a sudden he's open at the pylon. Well, it's because that guy that was trying to cover him had no chance because of the angles and the speed.
And there's also an element of every time that guy goes in motion, there's a chance they snap it and hand it to him. And sometimes it's ghost, but every time he goes in motion, or being prepared that this guy might get the handoff, okay, he doesn't. Okay, this time he did, but you just never know when that play is going to come and when they're going to hand it to the guy, because they have shown clearly there's at least once or twice a game where they are going to hand it to that guy who's in motion.
Or pop pass. They like the pop pass because it's incomplete if it hits the ground.
That's exactly right. They got one of those.
But I would say, look, I mean, Hardman's been good at times this year, but has been injured quite a bit. Tony's been here for a couple games. Sky Moore's been a guy, okay, offensively. MVS, I don't think, has lived up to expectations. Juju has exceeded them. Tyreek is gone. They lead the NFL in points. They lead the NFL in yards. They lead the NFL in passing yards.
Yeah,
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, but.
I don't think it matters.
But what about next year?
Right, yes.
More Zone coming up next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Sony Michel signing with the Chargers after being released by the Dolphins. Vizio Michel is heading to the Raiders.
Good. You deserve that.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, the Netherlands and Argentina are tied at 0 in the 34th minute.
Go Orange Team.
I find myself rooting for the Netherlands even though they beat the United States. Is that typically what people are
doing?
That's
what you probably want, right? And
I heard somebody else earlier this week that was like, bleep the Netherlands. To hell with them. I don't know. Just everybody has their own opinion.
I love their all orange unis. Just great.
Orange, you going to pick a team?
It's like red, white, and blue in their flag, but then they have orange unis. It's like the Tulane Green Wave who wear baby blue.
That's right. I didn't root for Cincy last year in the Super Bowl. I rooted very, very, very much against them.
My impulse, I will agree, my impulse usually is to say bleep you to the team that beat my team.
But in the World Cup, I find myself rooting for the Netherlands now.
Yeah.
Over
Argentina. I think I generally would start just like looking at population and then start rooting for the smallest countries. That feels like the best way to find an underdog. But I'm with you on Netherlands. I'm Team Orange.
Well,
Argentina
just scored.
Yeah, that might be the kiss of death. Three Americans all went, yeah, let's go Netherlands.
By the way, we probably need to mark that for a returner when Josh is like, you know what, I'm Team Orange. Goal Argentina. They just scored right as you said I'm Team Orange. Just a beautiful pass into the box and then a little flick.
Their uniform looks just like their flag. What are they doing?
Idiots.
How boring.
Well, the flag is a horizontal stripe, the uniform vertical stripe. So, I mean, although I don't know that you want horizontal stripes on soccer players. You know, you don't want them to look small and stocky.
I love the Netherlands in that, like, you can refer to them in 12 different ways. The Dutch, Holland, Netherlands, probably some other stuff I don't know.
Ned. The Netherlands
orange
is
orange team.
Ned and Arg are facing off against
each
other.
That's one of those deals where you could do like man on the street and go out and say who you're cheering more for in the World Cup, the Netherlands or Holland? Okay, okay, you say Holland. What about Holland or the Dutch? Oh, I'm going with the Dutch.
I did that at the Combine one year where I asked fans what they thought of a center out of Louisville named Mango Mathiang, and they started like talking about like how good what they liked about him. He was a center for the basketball team.
Here's the deal, Jason. You're the only one on the planet that knew that, though. That wasn't obvious information.
But that's the point,
anybody.
No, but that's the point is that they were talking about him as a center in football, like what they liked about. Oh yeah, he could go in the first round. You know, but do you take a center in the first round, a second round guy? And Louisville's got a good football program, so you got to go with that with them. But yeah, I've seen him a little bit, and I'm not sure that they should really go that route. But if he's there, I wouldn't mind them taking
him. Again, you're the only person that knew it. I don't even think his own family knew what sport he played.
That was great.
Todd, the only thing sweeter than a mango is a pineapple and a third round draft pick. That's my topic. That's my Mel Kiper impression.
Yeah, I don't know that the is the juice worth the squeeze with mango on this one. I'm not sure.
Ton, is the juice worth the squeeze
with
mango?
Not sure. Thought.
I was at a Final Four years ago at the Georgia Dome, and we did one of those just basic questions: who's playing in the Final Four?
Yeah.
Right. Nobody knew, and then with the Georgia Dome in the background, I would ask, "Where's the Final Four being played this year?" Half the people didn't know.
Shut up.
Half the people walking by the Georgia Dome didn't know.
Is that like when Jordan Clarkson was asked about the Utah Jazz outside of the arena by a reporter that was at, and it was a man on the street. They asked man on the street about what he thought of the Utah Jazz and how good the season was going to be, and it was Jordan Clarkson. Yes. She had no idea. And so his I can't remember what the soundbite was, but his answers were great. It's like he just played along with it.
Aaron Judge's rookie year, I think it was either Kimmel or Fallon, put Judge out on the street. Just put glasses on him. That's it. Had him sit down with New Yorkers and talk. Yeah, and talk about New York Yankees. Talk to New York Yankees fans and talk about the team. Oh, I love that. Aaron Judge, really? What do you like about him? Oh, man, I tell you what, he just hits these towering home runs. What would you say to him if you're talking to him right now? I'd be like, hey, man. You're really good at baseball. He would take their glasses off.
The fun ones are when they like they hate that person. Like, yes, what would you say? Yes. Oh, he's a hey man,
he's a bum.
I mean, I was just joking around, dude.
Who is the backup quarterback who was doing? It might have been Chase McDanielson. Actually, I'm trying to
remember. No, it was Detroit, at a training camp this year. Was it on Hard Knocks? Is that why we knew it?
Well, no, I think the team did it as like a skit because they did another version of it where the backup quarterback. I think it literally might.
You know who it was?
It was the team shop.
It was what's his name? Used to be at Houston. Used to play for the.
I think it might have. No, it was Case Keenum.
Case Keenum.
Because,
Houston Cougar.
Case Keenum, everybody. It was
Case Keenum.
He was trying to convince people.
He was asking autographs from his own teammates.
He was at training camp, and then they did it. Then he did it again in season. In the team shop, he was trying to convince people with Josh Allen jerseys to buy a Case Keenum jersey.
Yep, that was it.
It's a great bit.
Wow, I need to go check that out. I had not seen that.
That's who it was, Case Keenum.
I was talking right before Andy Reid started, so we had to abruptly go to Andy Reid. But the mock draft had Bijan Robinson, which whatever, that was fun for Josh.
He's really good.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting. Like right before that, pick number 28 was Felix Inudike Uzama, Pro Football Focus, by the way, their big board has him at number 21 overall in the draft.
He's about to make a lot of money.
But hey, you know what? I wouldn't be mad if Felix Inudike Uzama is lining up next year in a Chiefs uniform, playing defensive end. I mean, depending on if they have Chris Jones, like if you have Inudike Uzama, Karlaftis, and Chris Jones, I mean, I wouldn't be mad about that if that's who they end up getting in the first round. I don't think they get him at 32. They'll probably have to trade up to get Felix, but Pro Football Focus's big board has 7 defensive ends in the top 30, or edge rushers, and 4 offensive tackles in the top 30. So not many offensive tackles that may be there, a number of defensive ends and edge rushers, but you know, I think 2 or 3 of them go in the top 10. And then you start to see which one do you like most? Which flavor of ice cream are you a fan of? We'll see. But I thought, it's good for him. Defensive player of the year and Big 12 champion and first-round draft pick.
Lee Summit guy.
And you're darn right. Lee Summit guy, God's country, they call it.
Well, look, I mean, you have him. You have it's a great, Kansas City's turned into a great place to find interior line talent. Cooper Beebe from Piper, Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year. He's a guy that's got to probably play on Sundays eventually at some point. This year, going back to the Simone Awards, there are two guys from North Kansas City who are up for the Buchanan, which is basically interior lineman, linebacker. One's going to Alabama. The other's going to Oklahoma. Okay, you have your Caden Green from Lee Summit North going to Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and then you have
Melvin. Not happy about it, Caden. Not happy.
You have
good for you, though.
Melvin Laster, this kid at Liberty North.
Yep.
Who's going to be able to go wherever he wants. He is a badass, and he's only a junior. He's going to be a senior next year. He could go play college football already and just start right away. He is so good.
Yeah, no, it's awesome to see the players around here because, it you know what, it helps the local schools too. You know, hopefully they would go there. But, you know, it helps the local schools if you've got a talent in your backyard.
He plays a lot like Nick Bolton, man. Fast, can hit, yeah. And, you know.
Well, there's a black and gold team where he can go be just like Nick Bolton. I mean, it sounds like a plan to me. All right, let's go around the room. What do
Purdue?
They just lost their coach. You don't want to go there. They just lost their coach.
Oh, Colorado. They got Prime now. That makes sense. Yeah, Colorado.
They're kind of local.
Yeah, that actually does make sense. Damn it. I can't even know. Purdue lost their coach. It can't be Purdue. Colorado, you son of a gun. I object. Why? Because it's detrimental to my argument. All right, let's go see. What do we think is going to be the final score in Denver this weekend? Mick, we'll start with you.
32-24. Chiefs, the Broncos get their most points of the season. You hate me right
You're
now.
Doing that.
Love to hate me.
Just for S's and G's. Yes. Beards, what are you thinking?
Ooh.
I think this is going to be a dumb, stupid, ugly game. I think it's going to be closer than people think. And Chiefs will win. If I have to put a number, I guess I'll just say 3-2 and call it good.
3-2.
Wow, yeah. Probably that would be shocking.
Would be the fewest points either team has scored this year, if that's the final.
Broncos might do it, though.
Yeah, that's true. Josh?
I'm going to lock it in at 24-13. I'm thinking about that point spread more than I should be, I guess. I feel like I want to take the Chiefs and give the points, and I'm betting on a little bit of a defensive bounce back when they turn the difficulty settings from expert to rookie again.
I'm giving the points and going under. I've got Chiefs 27-10 winning this one. That's what I've got, and if you don't like it, that's too damn bad. Here's what is
exactly
on tap.
37 points, maybe, Jason? We can get in on that bet together?
37. We both have 37, right? Yeah.
Sure
yeah.
Do.
What's the over-under?
44, right? Isn't it? Is it 44?
It was yesterday when I did the prediction.
Yeah.
That is so low for a Chiefs game.
I know under.
It's so low, but it seems so high, too, at the same time. Like, 44? Are the Chiefs scoring 42?
Nice.
How you getting over the 44? Chiefs 42-3. What is on tap coming up this weekend? Well, you know, you got some college basketball this weekend besides Kansas State and Incarnate Word on Sunday at 2 o'clock on ESPN+. Of course, Saturday it is Mizzou and KU 415 on ESPN. Coverage right here on Sports Radio 810 with a special Mizzou KU pregame starting even before the KU pregame at 1 o'clock. That'll be right here on Sports Radio 810. Chiefs Broncos Sunday 3:05. Tomorrow night, the Heisman Trophy. That's at 7 o'clock with Stetson Bennett, Caleb Williams, Max Duggan, and CJ Stroud. Army Navy tomorrow at, you know what, it's 1 o'clock on ESPN KC. You can, if you're driving around here, Army Navy tomorrow in one of the best traditions in college football, that all the championship games out of the way, everything's done, and you can focus on one of the coolest games in Army-Navy. That is what's on tap, and it's presented by KC Beer Company, KCBIER.com. A great time of year, a special time, deserves a special beer. Grab Kansas City's favorite lager, Dunkel, a rich, smooth, Munich-style brown lager. Go to KCBIER.com, KCBIER.com, and discover all of the award-winning brands.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I just play a braggadocio badass on the radio. In real life, I am very humble.
If I ever host a career day.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, go ahead and mark this in the not surprise category, but T. Higgins may not play on Sunday. You know, he's injured. So
come on.
So he's injured. We'll see if he plays on Sunday. Questionable. All right, so with that being said, let's get the cuts in.
Yeah, what I talked about Monday. Yeah, same deal. You know, the things we talked about after the game, I'm not going to go into it. I mean, I've already covered that. I'm, again, on to Denver here. So we're trying to get ourselves right for that, and we got to make sure we're right for Denver. Yeah, listen, we're past the Bengals thing. I'm on, way past that. So let's keep going on to Denver. I mean, you're asking me questions about them, but you're asking me to forget about them. So they're forgotten. On to this one.
That was three different answers for Andy Reid during the press conference on Wednesday. Keep going. Let's hear from Carlos Dunlap, who would like to poke Burrow down on the ground. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? I'm not sure. Let me see. Keep going.
Gross. Listen, we got the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, and he's so good, and everyone knows it.
I finally saw that video. It is so much better
still
watching it.
Still haven't seen it. Still need to see it.
In the first ever MLB draft lottery, the Pittsburgh Steelers won the number one overall pick.
Come on. Unnecessary. Yeah. Hurtful, in fact.
Steelers winning the number one overall pick in the MLB draft lottery was the big surprise of the night. That was the surprise of the night. I thought the Pirates might win it, but nope, Steelers. Probably have a same game parlay tonight with Saints and Bucks as well. Call to action. Call them. Give them a download the app.
Whoa. What'd I miss there?
What you missed is the script in some of these that you're supposed to which I typically just ad-lib. I was having a rough read, and so I decided I just need to read it, and I read the call to action, which is what they're telling you to do. You don't actually read the call to action. Telling you, like, hey, have the same game parlay tonight with Saints and Bucks as well. Call to action. Call them. Give them download the app.
Call to action. Call them. Do something. I just eject.
I'm leaking oil. I need to eject.
Call somebody.
Damn Brock Purdy coming and beat spread your ass.
Man.
Whoa, what?
You start with the tongue.
Dropping his nuts.
There's one thing I bring to the show every time. It's my nuggets.
Mixed nuggets, baby.
Drew Morris jersey came in handy today. I didn't wear the pretty one because I didn't think I should.
Oh, I wouldn't want you to get that one messy. What's wrong,
sis? I know he's got a girlfriend.
I'm happy for him.
And I'm happy for him. But I'm not happy for me.
I know.
In that situation.
You love Joe Burrow, don't you?
But I'm not happy for me in that situation.
And all of that, I don't really think Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I am not dumb. That's it.
That was all you wanted me to work on that one.
That Broncos offense is.
You love Joe Burrow, don't you?
He's pretty, but dang it, he's talented. And let's be honest, I go for ambition, not look.
That might be my favorite part of the whole thing. I go for ambition.
A shout out to my nephew, Callan, as a sophomore, is getting work with the varsity at Shawnee Mission South. Following in your footsteps there, Greg. I just thought I'd shout that out.
Yeah, well, does he have a lot of the Bucati traits?
He's vertically challenged like me a little bit, but he's clearly a little more talented as a basketball player. There's no way I would have played varsity basketball at a school the size of Shawnee Mission South like him.
I completely agree with
that. Completely agree.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis.
Oh, Dion. He's got that Louis luggage. He's taken to Colorado. Josh, you taking anything home with you from Atomic Cowboy?
I certainly am. I got a massive cinnamon roll here covered in bacon. They brought that out because they're trying to hurt me here. Atomic That's Cowboy, annoying. Denver Biscuit Company, Fat Sully's New York-style pizza and burgers. It's absolutely been a ridiculous 4 hours out here. I will be back as soon as they possibly let me. They're also doing a great joint charity event for the month of December with Great Plains SPCA for looking for newer, gently used pet supplies. That's totally independent of all of the unbelievable food that we have absolutely indulged in today. Come on out for the best brunch in Kansas City at Denver Biscuit Co. Come get lunch, some pizza, some burgers. It's going to blow you away. Mick, sorry you weren't here for it.
Yeah, I've seen your post now on Twitter. Yeah. I am even more peeved.
Very annoying.
It's unbelievable. I need to lay down right now.
Briscoe, last 2 days, he was up at ADA in the Northland and Riverside, and now he's over at Atomic Cowboy with Denver Biscuit and Fat Sully's. Curtis is going to be at ADA today. as well, off of 635 and 9 Highway over by Park Hill South with their open house going on. So yeah, some cool stuff happening around the city. And the Chiefs and Broncos this weekend, gotta be 14 in a row.
I'll be there.
Have fun, man.
Eat my Denver biscuits.
Have fun. Go get your biscuits, man.
It's be 60 degrees on Sunday.
Oh, cool. Good for you.
Yeah, good for me.